like that before I get up to preach makes me want to preach on missions. But according to the Word of God, the field is the world. And every one of you are missionaries to the world. God so loved the world. When we look at the world that we live in today, the only thought that comes to my mind is that only God could love a world like this. Wicked, depraved, evil, raging against their Creator. And yet God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And then I'm thankful that the rest of that verse is there because I believe it heart and soul that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, it is not a sacrifice to be sent. It's a privilege. It is a privilege. And I think the thing that we who have the wondrous privilege of proclaiming the message of salvation from a pulpit or any other place should always and ever be conscious of who we serve. As long as we remember that we are serving Him, then there is nothing that is too small, nothing too insignificant, nothing too difficult, nothing too great to be done, as long as we remember that we are not serving ministry, but we're serving a Master. And whatever He has for us to do should humble us in such a way that we should always be amazed that He would use me for anything. How can we complain about the task He gives us to do? We're doing it for Him. So any task is far above what we deserve to be doing. And every task is totally possible through Him. And we need to understand that. Now, I'm speaking here before a lot of pastors. And I feel very self-conscious. I feel like I need to be sitting out there and listening to what you have for me, and I will be. I fully agree with the old adage that says, save the best until last. You know, use that which you need to get over with first and then move right on to the rest of it. But in speaking to a group of pastors, I think most of you will understand what I'm going to say right now. I fully knew exactly what I wanted to preach this morning. And when I went to bed last night, I was determined and I knew that's what I wanted to preach. But very early this morning, God woke me up. I said, that's not what I want. I wish He'd have told me yesterday. I wish He'd have told me yesterday. But this morning I knew, and I knew that I knew that the message I had prepared was not the message God wanted me to preach. And I don't know why. But I do want to be submissive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in my life. Now, I remember the days in Japan when even God couldn't have done that to me. He couldn't have woke me up early in the morning and said, I'm changing your message, because after about 40 hours of reading and studying and writing it out in Japanese and practicing it and trying to say it and trying to read it without making mistakes, even if God had told me change the message, I'd have said, sorry, Lord, I can't do it. That's the only thing I can do is preach what I've got prepared, because there's no way I could do it extemporaneously or in any other way. Last night I kind of shocked the people here because I said, well, you know, after all these years of preaching mostly in Japanese, I said, I'm really more comfortable and more free speaking in Japanese. And since we have a few people here who can understand Japanese, I think that's what I'll do tonight. And so I started talking in Japanese, and you could tell the shocked look on all the faces of the congregation, except for the Starens, who are missionaries in Japan and speak good Japanese. And their faces lighted up, and they were listening to what I had to say, but I had to stop. But I couldn't always do that. Now, some of you have heard me tell it, but I can remember when I first started reading my messages. Now, I come from West Virginia, and I'm going to have to hurry because I'm using my own time right now. But I come from West Virginia, and we there in West Virginia have a philosophy about preaching. A preacher who reads his messages could not be called of God to preach. There are two kinds of preachers. There are God-called preachers and there are educated preachers. And they're not the same thing. Now, the way you're laughing, some of you are familiar with that type of mentality. But they never tried to preach in Japanese. But one day I got tired of reading my messages, so I decided I was not going to. So I worked on a message for about 40 hours and tried to memorize it and practiced it over and over and over again. And the night before I went to the church to preach at the Nishimaiko Baptist Church, I tore the message up and threw it in the trash can. The next morning I woke up and the first thought in my mind was, you are an idiot. There is no way you can do what you're planning to do. But I had no choice. So I went that morning and I preached on one of the favorite subjects we Baptist preachers have, the subject of sin. But instead of saying tsumi, which means sin, I said tsuma, which means wife. So for the whole message I preached on, if you want to know the true and living God, you must turn from your wife. If it weren't for wives, there would be no sickness. If it weren't for wives, there would be no pain. If it weren't for wives, there would be no death. And I went on and on. Now, Brother Starin understands, because when you're first learning a language, you learn one sentence form and then you keep putting a new noun in there and saying the same thing over and over, because that's the only way you know how to say it. But just to encourage missionaries to learn the language, and you need to learn the language, at the close of that service, three people trusted Christ as Savior. You see, God was able to help them to understand what that dumb foreigner was trying to say instead of what he was really saying. But you know, preaching what God wants you to preach is a very important thing, I believe. I want you to turn with me to the book of John. And I really don't know why, but the Lord has just so impressed my heart with this message. So I was up early this morning thinking through and praying. I have preached on this topic before, but I didn't even have my outline with me. So I trust that I will be saying at least something that someone needs here this morning. But in John chapter 21, beginning in verse 18, after Jesus had just finished asking Peter those three heart-searching questions. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now, I personally don't believe that Jesus was questioning him to reprimand him, because of when old Peter said what I've had to say before. Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. I haven't shown it. I didn't act like it. And I've certainly failed you miserably. But Lord, you know I love you. And all three times, the Lord said, okay, I do, and I'll use you. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. You see, I believe the Lord was encouraging Peter by those three questions. And then, remember what Peter had done three times Before the crucifixion, he had denied the Lord. After he had boastfully said, "Lord, even if everybody else forsakes you, I'll die for you. I'll die for you." And then he denied him. And then in love, I believe, the Lord spoke verses 18 to Peter. And then it's explained to us by verse 19. Jesus said to Peter, after he had said, "Feed my sheep," three times, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, "Follow me." This he spoke, signifying by what death he should glorify God. I believe what the Lord was saying to Peter is, when you said you'd die for me, I know you meant it. And I'm going to give you a chance to do just that. I'm going to allow you to keep a promise that in your flesh you could not keep. But if you're going to do that, starting right now, follow me. Follow me. Isaiah 43 verse 7 says, "Everyone that is called by my name, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." We bear the name of Christ. We're called Christian. And everyone who is called by my name, I have created him for my glory. You see, the sole purpose of the servant of God is to glorify his God. Now, a lot of other things are accomplished when that remains the sole purpose. But when any other good thing becomes the focus instead of the glory of God, then that leads us into error every time. And this is an unusual way to approach a message, because what we're talking about is, number one, do you want to glorify God by the way you leave this life? Do you want to glorify... You know, we'll all leave this life. But do you want to glorify God as you go through the process of leaving this life? Now, I've seen lots of folk who have done that. My own dear wife, she was diagnosed in 1992 with pancreatic cancer that was already metastasized into the liver and given less than 6 months to live. When she received that news, we were at Vanderbilt University Hospital and five oncologists came in. They were kind of like coming in, it looked like they were trying to destroy any kind of joy or hope or peace that we could ever possibly have. And I still remember that doctor looking at Odessa and saying, "Mrs. White, we hate to tell you this, but you have pancreatic cancer. It's already in your liver, and you have probably less than 6 months to live." But I still remember what she said instantaneously to that doctor. She said, "Well, I gave my life to the Lord when I was a teenager. It's His. He can do anything He wants to with it." Now, there was a man standing over in the corner that didn't agree with that. But you see, the Lord was amazed. A few weeks after that, I came home after I'd been out for just a little while, and I walked in, and Odessa met me with a smile, and she said, "Well, honey, you can quit worrying about me. I'm not going to die yet." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, do you remember our first prayer card?" I said, "Well, of course I do." She said, "Well, what did that verse say on it?" And I said, well, it said, the Lord thy God will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And she said, the Lord told me this morning that I wasn't finished yet. And when I am, I'll tell you. So 6.5 years later in 1998, beside of her bed, she looked up in that bed and she said, now you know that I finished what the Lord has called me to do. But you haven't. And I know that it's His will for me to go be with Him. But if you want me to, I'll stay. Now, you can't imagine what was going on in my heart. Because I wanted her to stay. Oh, how I wanted her to stay. But you see, I was there when, as a teenager, she knelt at the altar at a Youth for Christ meeting in Beckley, West Virginia, and gave her life. I remembered, you know, and immediately I remember what she said to the doctors when we first found out about the illness. And there was no way I could look into her face and ask her to do what she believed was not the will of God for her life. So the first thing I said was, well, honey, are you sure? And she said, oh, yes, I'm sure. I said, well, then, it's all right. She said, oh, thank you. Let me share with you the verse God gave me this morning. John 17:24. Father, I will that those whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And she said, that was what God gave me as my personal verse this morning. And 3 days later, she was in His presence. 3 days later, she was in His presence. Glorify God by the way you leave this life. Now, if you do, very quickly, there's some things you're going to have to remember. You're going to have to realize that life has a purpose. Remember what Paul said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, and I like that, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see, if you really believe that, it becomes much easier to leave this life glorifying God as you do. We need to have the right perspective about death. According to God, death is precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. You see. And we also need to remember that death is only a passage. Now, it begins with what we hear in John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. And see, that's what physical death does. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And there's not a period there. There's a conjunction. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that brings us to the next one. Death is an escorting into a presence. His presence. We're always confident of this thing, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. We are content, I say, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. See, if we really believe, fellas, what we preach, then when it comes time for us to leave this life, we'll be able to leave this life in such a way that we can bring glory and honor to the Savior whom we've served. And that's very important. But if we are going to leave this life for the glory of God, we're going to have to live this life for the glory of God. You know, we don't get to our deathbed and then decide we're going to glorify God. You see, it's very important. You see, after the Lord told Peter, I've told you now the kind of death you're going to die to glorify me. And then he looked at him and said two words. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Of course, Peter was Peter. So what did he say? I mean, oh, look over there. You see that disciple over there? That's John. What about him? What's he going to do? You know, fellas, people we love, people we've served with, people we've looked up to and respected will fail. Or they'll do far more and we'll get jealous if we're not careful. But basically what the Lord said to Peter is, well, what is that to you? That's none of your business. What I want to do with my other servants has nothing to do with what I have planned for you. Don't follow him. Don't follow him. Follow him. See, that's one of our weaknesses if we're not careful. We set up men on higher pedestals than they can ever stay on. And then when they slip off, we start condemning them and criticizing a whole lifetime of service. Be careful. Don't throw a man's life just because he fails one or two times toward the end of that life. Be careful. Be careful. Let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. But you see, in order to glorify God with your death, you're going to have to glorify God consistently with your life. That's absolutely not. Now, it begins with salvation. It begins with salvation. You see, Paul's testimony amazes me. He says, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past, now preacheth the faith which he once destroyed. And they glorified God in me. You see, your personal testimony of what God did for you when he saved you will bring glory to God. If you live the kind of a life that he wants you to live after he saves you. That's where the submission comes in. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, what? You can say it. All of you preached it. Glorify God in your body. Doesn't make any difference what kind of a body it is. I watched my wife's body get weaker and weaker and weaker over the 6.5 years we were together. But she glorified God in that body. We teach our Japanese Christians that the last time you get to obey this scripture is at your own funeral. When that body's laying there. And if you have put in your will, as we encourage every Japanese, because if we don't, their Buddhist relatives will take the body away from us and we can't even have their funeral. But most of the Japanese are too superstitious to go against the exact wishes of the dead. And so if you put in your will that you want a Christian funeral, then they will usually allow it. And they will come when they would never come to any other kind of a church service. You see, but then Christ can be magnified in that body one more time. See, and that's what's important. Now, we can also glorify God in this life by soul winning. Herein is my Father glorified. What? That you bear much fruit. We can glorify God by shining, letting our light shine. Let your light therefore shine, that men may see thy good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're not saved by works, but if we ever expect to glorify God, we'd better have good works. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But we must not forget there's a 10th verse in that chapter 2. And we are created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let your light shine. If you're going to glorify Him. And then by service, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You see, glorifying God in death has a prerequisite. You have to glorify God with your life. And then the one I don't like that the Lord laid on my heart is one that says we glorify God by suffering. By suffering. Remember John 11? Behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Excuse me for another personal illustration. But I remember one time after several years of Odessa's illness that I got kind of frustrated with her. And I looked at her and I said, Odessa, the whole world is praying for you to be healed. And I have never one time heard you ask God to heal you. Why? She said, well, what if he doesn't want to? I said, well, what do you say when you pray in your own private prayers to the Lord? She said, oh, I say what Martha and Mary said about their brother. I say, Lord, she whom thou lovest is sick. That's enough. That's enough. He knows it. And he's not going to do anything wrong about it. So I'll just trust him. And that's why she was able to live the kind of a life that's talked about right there in chapter 11. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Glorifying God by your death the prerequisite must be glorifying God by the way you live your life. But it doesn't stop there, fellas, and that's what I like. Look over to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, and with this I'm going to close. And I know what time I'm supposed to stop, and I'm going to. But we can not only glorify God by the way we lead this life and by the way we live this life, but we can even glorify God by the legacy of our lives. And that's important to remember. You don't have to stop serving God when they put you in a casket. Your influence can go on and on and on, and I like this. Here's Peter, the same one that the Lord was talking to in John 21. And he says in verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus has showed me. He showed him that in John 21, remember? And now it's being fulfilled. Then I like verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Always in remembrance. You see, we must, if we're going to serve God and glorify God by the legacy of our lives, we must fulfill our responsibility. Peter said, I will not be negligent. I will not let old age be an excuse to neglect what God wants me to do. I will not be negligent to make you remember that which you already know. And then we must finish our race. He says, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I'll stir you up. I'll stir you up. I had the privilege of having lunch with Dr. Lee Robertson just a few weeks before he went to heaven. 96 years of age. What a glorious privilege. And believe you, he's sitting at that table at Wally's restaurant in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He stirred me up. I said, what's it like to be 96? He said, oh, go on, I'm not that old. I said, well, Dr. Robertson, when were you born? And immediately he gave me the year. And then he took out a napkin and did a little bit of math. And he said, well, I am, aren't I? And then he went on to say, well, you know, one of the good things about getting old is that you forget. And then he went on and said, you forget all the bad things that have ever happened to you. And immediately I said to him, I said, Dr. Robertson, that is a life choice, not just something that's happened, because I know a lot of old people that all they remember is the bad things that's happened to them. You see, stirring people up as long as we are in this tabernacle. And then we must face death's reality. He said, shortly I must put off this tabernacle. I'm going to die soon. He wasn't worried about it. Wasn't concerned about it. Because he remembered. And he was going to die in such a way that he was going to be able to keep a promise that he couldn't keep those many, many years before. You all know that historically Peter was nailed on the cross upside down and died and was able to fulfill a promise that he'd broken many, many years before. And I believe that was in his heart as he hung there dying. But then, you must further your remembrance. He said, after my decease. He said, as long as I live, I'm going to help you. And as long as I live, I'm going to hound you to do what's right. And then after I'm dead, I'm going to haunt you. And every time you remember me, you'll want to do what God wants you to do. And see, that is the way to live your life for the glory of God. I'm not a poet, but I close with this. Someday, I'll leave this life. I too someday must die. But when He takes me home, His name I'll glorify. I gave my life to Him that day. I heard His voice. So how I leave this life is really not my choice. But if I want my death to glorify my Lord, I must give to Him my all. No less can I afford. As long as I have breath, I must follow His command. Wherever He may lead, to near or distant land. What others say or do is no concern to me. While I am in this flesh, His servant I must be. So as I live this life until my race is run, I seek to stir you up. Remember, don't forget, and you can leave this life with nothing to regret. And after you have gone, the legacy you leave will stir up those you love and help them to believe. If you will live your life and follow till you die, you can leave this life your Lord to glorify. The influence you have needs not to die with you. The memories that you leave can glorify Him too. Remember, life is brief, and it will soon be past. And what you give away is all that's going to last. Thank you. Brother Slutes, would you come?
Well, I'm glad you woke up and listened to the Lord this morning, Brother White. And I'm glad you're one of